You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. For those of you who have listened to our show in the past, we welcome you back. We thank you all for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk some Yankees baseball with us. If you're new to the show, we welcome you, whether you're listening on YouTube or you're listening on any audio platform. We thank you for taking some time to join us for our conversation. If you're new here, or maybe you're just slacking a little bit, here's the ways you can find us on social media. On Facebook, search up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. On Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND. And on Instagram, our official Delahanty Media brand is listed there for you. Also, our show is available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, you name it, our show is there available for you. And now, a little bit of a new feature for us, our show is live video streamed on YouTube, so you can hit that little red button in the side corner of your screen to subscribe to the Delahanty Media channel. Check out our website, www.delahantymedia.com, and go to our store, buy some gear, support the brand, and be a public advertiser for us. We love to have our brand being out there for you guys to help spread the word. Now, we're in the middle of the offseason, as you guys know, and we're about to get things going. But on this episode, we're going to have a little fun. There have been trade rumors going around, obviously, because we're in the middle of the offseason. Teams are going to be looking to make some deals to improve their club heading into 2021. And let's be honest, the Yankees have World Series aspirations. They are going to be right in the thick of things with that as well. So we found six trade rumors or proposals that have been going around, five of which come from Joel Sherman of the New York Post, and one from Brandon Cuddy from NJ.com. And we're going to break down those deals and kind of look at why it makes sense for the Yankees, why it may not make sense for the Yankees, and give an answer as to whether or not we would go ahead with that said deal. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Whether I say yes or no, the majority of these deals make you think and make you kind of put yourself in the GM spot to see what deals you would do, what deals you would kind of stay away from. And obviously, let us know your thoughts. Send us your thoughts via social media on what you agree on or disagree on. And, you know, we could have some fun talking about some Yankees baseball. It wouldn't be right unless we start off with Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's a guy who has been rather disappointing over the last 2 years. And I know we're going to get into the postseason in a minute, so just calm down. The reason I'm saying that is the last 2 years, Giancarlo Stanton has played in a combined 41 games. Yes, 41 games. Out of a total of 222 regular season games that the New York Yankees have played, we have only seen Giancarlo Stanton for 23 of those games. That's not even 20% of the Yankees' schedule. And after his first year in the Bronx, yeah, he had some struggles early on. The guy had 38 homers, 100 RBIs. He was a lethal force when he put the ball in play. And we saw what he can do in the postseason this year. He was arguably the Yankees' best hitter. He had 8 hits in a little over 25 at-bats, and out of those 8 hits, 6 were out of the ballpark. So we know what Stanton's capable of, but there are a couple of things that really, and I mean really, hurt Stanton in regards to being on this Yankee team. Number one, he has a huge, and I mean huge, contract, 13 years, $325 million. He is under club control for a handful more years until he's 38, and let's just put that into perspective. The guy's going to be 31, so you're looking at another 7 years of him in the Bronx. And let's also be remiss. It wouldn't be right to not mention it. You know, he hasn't played the outfield. The Yankees have used him strictly as a DH, so that causes flexibility issues because this team doesn't have the necessary pieces to be able to move around now. You know, in the past, if you have a DH where, you know, they could play the field, you could stick them out in the field for a day or two to give guys a break. But essentially, if you want to give Aaron Judge a day at DH, or a Luke Voit a day at DH, or even a Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, you name it, you're very handicapped by Stanton's contract because if he's healthy, you expect him to be in the lineup every single day. So it is a tough scenario to put yourself in. And the limitations in the field, the Yankees see him as a DH. You think other teams see him as a fielder at this point? If he can't play the outfield for the Yankees, how many teams are really going to say, you know, this is a guy that we really, really want to get to play the outfield? It's just not going to happen. If a team is going to trade for him, there have to be a couple of things that come into play. Number one, they have to be able to afford him. That's the first and foremost thing. You're not going to take on $25 to $27 million a year but for a guy who you have no room for. Also, you have to be a contender that he's going to accept the trade to. It's got a full no trade clause. There's a lot of things that could come into play with his contract. Let's remember, before he was traded to the Yankees, where did Giancarlo want to go? Either New York or the West Coast to a contender. So you're thinking the Dodgers. Would he consider the Padres, who we're going to get into in a minute? Would he consider the Dodgers if they came knocking? I doubt they would, but I'm sure he would consider it. But if he's happy in New York, it may be very difficult to get rid of his contract, because he might have the final say in saying, you know what, you want to get rid of me, but I have no intention of going anywhere. So before we get into these trade talks and this rumor, let's kind of break down his contract a little more. He has a club option for 2028. It's a $10 million buyout. At age 38, you probably would figure whoever has that contract is probably going to opt out of it, unless he's an absolute monster and can stay on the field. He has incentives tied to gold gloves, which if you're the Yankees, you don't have to really worry about. Silver Slugger Awards, All-Star Game appearances, MVPs in the playoffs, World Series MVPs. He's expected to make $29 million in 2021 and 2022. And then it takes a dip in 2023 where it goes down to 22. But the last couple of years are where you really see a little more of an increase. You see him make as much as $32 million on the open market over a two-year span. And then it goes down again up until that final year of the contract. So it's a tough contract to swallow, especially considering that he's probably a DH at this point. But if you're the Yankees, if you could try to get rid of that and save some cap, I think you definitely would. And before we get into any trade rumors, you have to also remember, if you're going to trade a contract like this, you're either going to A, have to eat some of the money, because obviously nobody's going to take on that big of a deal, or you're going to have to take on some bad contracts in return. So let's get Sherman's first trade proposal here, shall we? And that first trade proposal has Stanton going to the Padres. And in return, the Yankees would acquire Eric Hosmer and Will Myers. Now, this trade is intriguing to me. And obviously, as you can see, the Yankees give up more than just Stanton. They give up $19 million to help kind of go towards Stanton and also a prospect. But this is rather intriguing. Number one, you dump Stanton's contract. In the short term, it may not make sense because you're bringing on money and you're not really going to see much benefit. And for the Padres, it makes sense. You would save over $22 million over the next 2 years. But for the short term, you would be getting a guy back in Eric Hosmer who can help you win games. Number one, Hosmer's durable. He'll be 31 going into the year. He's on that 8-year, $144 million contract. He's under club control until 2025. Four-time gold glover at first base. One-time All-Star. Won a Silver Slugger Award. If you remember, he was a big part of that Royals 2015 championship team. He was the number three overall pick in the 2008 draft. And he's expected to make $20 million on his contract over the next couple of seasons. Now, the thing about his contract that I like, the final 3 years when he's starting to get past that prime, his number goes down to about $13 million. And Hosmer has an opt-out after 2022 where if he comes in and say the Yankees acquire him and he has two really good years with the Yankees and he's trying to get that one final big contract at the age of 33, he might opt out and save the Yankees money. And that might be a situation where the Yankees may say, you know what, you got us a World Series or you helped us get to that point. You can leave. You know, if you want to opt out, so be it. So you see the number go down. It kind of gives you that Zach Britton type of deal feel where, you know, he may look to opt out, but he may stay comfy with it. You know, if you struggle in a scenario or you don't think you can get down the open market, there are ways that it can play out. Now, what I like about him, durability. The guy has played in over 150 games in 7 of the 10 years of his career. And if you take out 2020, it's even better statistically. The guy's played in over 100 games in almost every single season he's been in. A guy who's constantly in the lineup. Yeah, he had a bit of a down year in 2020, but you mean to tell me that adding that left-handed bat in Yankee Stadium wouldn't be a nice fit, especially with the short porch? The guy hit 22 homers in 2019. I'm sure he can hit that or maybe even more playing the majority of his games in Yankee Stadium. So that's something to take into consideration too. And it just seems like he has a winning mentality. Yeah, he signed in San Diego. He kind of started the trend for the cool kids, you know. Once he signed, you start seeing guys start going there, Machado and things like that. But you have a guy like Hosmer, you bring him in, he's got that winning mentality. And if you're going to pay the salary for the short term, it makes a lot of sense. he might be better fit to help this Yankee team win now than Stanton is, if you look at the two in comparison. Yeah, Stanton's a great hitter, but what he's giving you defensively is pretty much nothing. And then you look at it from a perspective, it opens up the DH. You may not elect to trade Luke Voit, who we're going to talk about later on, but it gives you the option to do that. You can move Voit as a full-time DH, or you give Miguel Andujar the everyday DH role, and you mix and match on certain days. You want to give Judge a day off, so be it. It's not like you're taking out a big contract in Stanton to get these guys the DH day. And then you can play Miguel Andujar in the field if you so choose, but it gives the guy a chance to be in the lineup every single day, or at least for the majority of the week. And then Myers is a guy that, you know, he has experience at first and in the corner outfields and a little at third base. He's probably a guy that if you acquire him, you look to flip him. And by flip him, I mean you try to get back a contract or two where it's a shorter-term deal and it doesn't hurt you in the long haul. Now, the example Sherman gives in this example was maybe you trade him to the Cardinals for Dexter Fowler and Andrew Miller. Bring back two contracts, both guys who could probably help you now but aren't on tab for a long term. And Myers is signed till 2022. He has a club option for 2023. He's entering his age 30 season. He's athletic. He's a guy who, when he's on, can hit, but I just don't see him as a fit in the Bronx. My overall understanding on this trade, when I saw it, I would say yes, with the intent of trading Myers. I don't think Myers fits on the opening day roster. I really don't. I think they need a left-handed hitting outfielder. I would like to see them get that somewhere else. But if you can get Hosmer, dump Stanton's contract, and look at it from the short term, yeah, it doesn't help you financially right now, but in years to come, it will definitely benefit. So I would say yes, as long as you could find a suitable trade partner to take on Myers' contract. I don't think that would be the final part of the deal. I would say yes, as long as it's contingent upon you getting a deal for Will Myers as well. Let's jump to our second trade. And again, center of attention, Mr. Giancarlo Stanton. We talked about Stanton enough. You guys know the deal. The Chicago Cubs, one of the most interesting teams this offseason. Why is that? They have two guys who next year are going to hit the free agent market. And, you know, if you look at the names, they're pretty damn good players. Javier Baez and Chris Bryant. What do you do with those two? From reports, it seems like the Cubs are trying to save a lot of money this offseason. They're trying to unload some bad contracts that have really hampered them. Why? Obviously, they got to pay these guys. They want to keep these guys. They don't want to make a choice between Baez or Bryant. Heck, they might have to let both go if they can't cut contracts. So in this situation, the Yankees will be taking back three pretty bad contracts. Jason Hayward, Yu Darvish, and Craig Kimbrell. Now, let's start off with Darvish, okay? Darvish would be the Yankees' number two starter, coming off a really impressive year, nominated for the Cy Young. He's actually a Cy Young Award finalist. If you're the Cubs, as he's heading into his age 34 season, your intent is to trade him at his highest value if you can get something back for him. And no, anything against Darvish here, he's no slouch, but he's not a guy that is in the middle of his prime where you can see a lot of value. You know, for that big contract he's got for the next three seasons, does he project to be as good as he was in 2020? If you look at the numbers, they indicate no. Four-time All-Star. He was a Cy Young Award finalist, like I mentioned. He was 8-3 with a 2.01 ERA, 93 strikeouts, and only 14 walks in 76 innings pitched. He's due over $22 million in 2021. Then he goes down to under $20 million over the next two seasons. He'll be at the age of 37 at the end of that deal. And for the Yankees, adding Darvish would be a number two starter. But if you're looking at the open market, if you're going to give $20-plus million to a starter, I think there's other options. But before we get into yes or no here, let's go to Jason Hayward. Hayward, a New Jersey native, was born in Ridgewood, ended up moving to Georgia, so I don't really think he classifies himself as a New Jersey native. Was drafted out of high school, was a first-round pick by the Braves, 14th overall in the 2007 draft. He's due over $23 million over the next 2 years, actually 3 years. If you look at the numbers, 23.5 this year, 24.5 over the next two seasons after that. He'll be a free agent the same year as Darvish. So you're picking up 2 3-year contracts at that rate. This year's 265 average, 6 home runs, 22 RBIs, played in 50 games. He's a guy who has experience in center field, a guy who has experience in right field, a left-handed hitting bat like Hosmer, I think that he would really benefit from playing his home games in Yankee Stadium. The one thing that really scares me about him, number one, hasn't played much left field. I think the Yankees need a little more flexibility in terms of where these guys could play. You're looking for a guy who has experience in all three outfield positions. Now, obviously, I think that Hayward can handle it. He's an athletic fielder, but I think he's best suited right now in right field. And the Yankees have a pretty big guy in right field in Aaron Judge, so I don't think he'll be moving anytime soon. And also, you know, you got to look at it because, let's face it, this team that's on my hat plays in October. Jason Hayward has stunk in the postseason. 156 average over 40 games in the postseason. Not your typical, yes, I need this guy on my team type of move, right? And then the final piece, Craig Kimbrel has absolutely stunk as a member of the Chicago Cubs. He's got another year left on his deal, a vesting option for next year. And, you know, I wouldn't take that on. I just don't think that I would want to add Kimbrel. Yeah, you can rejuvenate his career in a bit, and he's, you know, he's entering his age 33 season, so I'm sure there's a lot left in the tank. It may be a change of scenery type of thing. But for me, I just can't see the Yankees taking on these three contracts because, number one, when you have aging veterans, most of the time, father time hits them, and it doesn't turn out pretty. So you have to make sure you avoid that. And I just don't think that they're in a market to take on three bad contracts just to dump Stanton. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from Hayward. You don't know what you're going to get from Kimbrel or Darvish. Darvish could come out and be a 500 pitcher with a 4.5 ERA. And what does that do for your rotation? Absolutely nothing. This would absolutely blow up the Yankees' luxury tax, so I don't think that they would even consider it. But unfortunately for this one, I would have to say no. In Sherman's third trade, he has Gary Sanchez going to the National League West. And that team is the Colorado Rockies. Sanchez goes to the Rockies. The Yankees acquire David Dahl and Tony Walters back in return. And this, as Sherman said, and I love the wording, is the change of scenery trade. Number one, Gary Sanchez had a very, I mean very bad 2020. It may be time for the Yankees to look at alternatives instead of Gary Sanchez. Unfortunately, it hasn't panned out. Unfortunately, he's not the same hitter he was a couple of years back. It seems like he greatly struggled both offensively and defensively, and it's at that point where I think the Yankees are ready to make a decision. You know, is Sanchez a guy we could salvage, or do we send him elsewhere? If he turns out to work out or get back on track, you know, we have to bite the bullet there. So in this trade, the Yankees trade a struggling Gary Sanchez to the Rockies, and they get back an injury-prone David Dahl, a left-handed hitting outfielder, a guy who really could be a nice piece for the Yankees if he could stay healthy. He'll enter his age 27 season. He was a one-time All-Star already, career 286 hitter. Now, he's a guy who can play all outfield positions, all three. He's playing his professional career, and he's a left-handed hitting outfielder. One thing that the Yankees will like about both of these guys that they would be acquiring is that they have one option left, which gives them flexibility to stash them in AAA or get them there in a situation where they look to upgrade at the position, whichever position it may be. So the Yankees will be taking a risk by bringing on Dahl or Walters, and we're going to get to Walters in a minute. But if Dahl can stay healthy, the guy has shown that he is an all-star caliber type player. And Walters would add to the Yankees' catching contingency. He would probably have an opportunity to platoon with whoever the starter may be, whether it's Kyle Higashioka or whether the Yankees bring in somebody during the offseason, but he's a guy who has a very high ceiling defensively, will probably give you a little offensively, but he's another guy you can stash in the minor leagues and know that you have a capable defensive backstop in the event somebody gets hurt or you need some more flexibility. In terms of this trade, I'm torn, and here's why. I don't know if I'm ready to give up on Gary Sanchez yet. I just don't know. I don't know if 2020 should indicate, you know, for anybody if it's time to give up or not. Because let's face it, in a 60-game slate, it's a lot different than 162. So I don't know if I'm ready to give up on Sanchez. Yeah, you'd be getting two pieces that you could definitely work in and mix and match with. But if I'm Brian Cashman, I think I'm looking for a little bit more if I'm parting ways with Gary Sanchez. Yeah, his trade value may be low. the arbitration number he's going to get is probably over $5 million. So it may be intriguing to some teams, especially in this market. You know, you don't know what to expect considering so many teams lost out on revenue this year. But I'm going to have to say a hard no on this one because I'm not convinced that Dahl could stay healthy. If he was a guy that could stay healthy, I would be all in for it. But knowing the Yankees, they do like their Colorado Rockies. Go back and look at LeMahieu and Mike Tauchman. They do have a history with the organization. So if they think that they can salvage Dahl into an everyday player and keep him healthy, I think they would definitely pull the trigger on this one. I think the move makes sense for both sides. Of Sherman's trades that he proposed, I think this one's the most intriguing to me. The Yankees would send Luke Voit and Miguel Andujar to the Miami Marlins for Pablo Lopez. The Yankees obviously need pitching. They're not going to get Sandy Alcantara or Sixto Sanchez from the Marlins. And the Marlins need offense. So in this situation, the Yankees would be selling high on Luke Voit and getting back a young, controllable starter that they can mold in their rotation. He's not even arbitration eligible yet, Lopez, as he heads into his age 25-year-old season, will be a free agent after the 2025 season. Why is Lopez intriguing? You may not know the name, but he averages a strikeout an inning. He has a very good ground ball rate, and he has club control. So if the Marlins are looking for a bat, they may be willing to give up a guy like Pablo Lopez to get it done. Now, the thing about this trade, and Sherman mentions it, does Gary Denbo and Dan Greenlee like Miguel Andujar? Or, you know, from their time with the Yankees, do they have a fixation on getting Andujar back? Do they see him as an everyday player? With the question regarding the DH in the National League, is Andujar really a fit with the Miami Marlins? If he is, I could definitely see this trade going down. This kind of has a low-risk, high-reward type of feel for Cashman, who may not see Luke Voit as continuing that production over a long span of time. Before his value decreases, I could definitely see the Yankees jumping on a trade to get something back in return for him. So when I was looking at this trade, I thought it made a lot of sense, especially given, you know, Andujar's still the man without a position. Where do you play him? If Stanton's still on this team in 2021, and you could probably make a good bet that it's going to happen, he has nowhere to play or get at bats, and it's going to be the same situation. So you could see some resolution with Andujar this offseason. The Yankees may find a trade partner for him. Maybe somebody sees him as a project that can be salvaged. You know, there are a lot of things that can go on this offseason. But if I'm the Yankees, depending on what they do, obviously you don't want to leave yourself in a predicament where you don't have a first baseman. That wouldn't be too smart. But if the Yankees bring in a shortstop, move Gleyber Torres back to second base, and you re-sign DJ LeMahieu with the intent of having him play first, the move makes sense. Or if you made a trade like we talked about with Hosmer, and Hosmer's your everyday first baseman, then you have a little more flexibility. So depending on what Brian Cashman does or has in mind, I think this move makes a lot of sense for the Yankees, and I could see them pulling the trigger on this to get a young, controllable starter to mold behind Gerrit Cole in that rotation. This is the only trade that Joel Sherman kind of proposed that I said absolutely positively no to, and that was getting Lance Lynn from the Texas Rangers for Clint Frazier and Jonathan Loaisiga. Okay, before you jump the gun and you say, this guy's nuts, I'm shutting off the show, hear me out. Lance Lynn's been very good for the Texas Rangers. Has gone 5 or more innings in 45 of his 46 starts with the club. His 292 plus innings are a most in the big leagues in that span of time. His 140 ERA plus is a very good number. He has been nothing but good, and he comes at a cheap price, 1 year, $8 million. But I would not, I repeat, would not give up Clint Frazier and Jonathan Loaisiga for a rental. If you're going to trade Frazier, I want somebody who has control or somebody that you have in mind as a long-term solution for this club. I would not give him up for Lance Lynn. I know Texas would love to have a prospect like Frazier who has the potential to be an everyday bat, and Frazier obviously showed it this year, so I really don't want to call him a prospect, but the potential is still there and waiting to be unraveled. I would not give him up for Lance Lynn. Now, say you're able to get him for lesser of a deal, I think adding a guy like Lance Lynn would make sense. You know, the first time around, it really wasn't as great as everybody you would have hoped it would have been. And if it was as great as it would have been, you know, I think the Yankees would have kept the guy. But they let him walk. They traded for him at the trade deadline from the Twins, got him for half a year, made 11 appearances, 9 starts. So I wouldn't do this trade, but if there was a way to get him for a lesser price tag, I would definitely consider it. Now, let me ask you guys, you've been listening to me rant about these trades. Who do you think the final trade of our show is going to discuss? Do you have any guesses? I'll give you a hint. He is the hottest name on the trade market right now because his current club is basically saying they're intending on trading him before the start of the 2021 season. If you guess Francisco Lindor, you are correct. Lindor, one of the most dynamic shortstops in the game, entering his age 27 season. Switch hitting, dominant shortstop, right? One of the best in the game. Has the ability to impact the game on both sides of the ball. Former All-Star, Gold Glove Award winner, Platinum Glove winner, Silver Slugger. The guy has done it all. And to add a guy like that to the Yankees lineup would be an amazing thing. Now, he only has 1 year on his deal. So trading for him is kind of like a Mookie Betts situation where you're trading for him with the intent of signing him for a long-term deal, but you just don't know off the top of the bat if he's going to sign. But there are a couple of things that play in the Yankees' favor. Number one, his best friend is Gio Urshela. They hang out all the time. They go on vacation together during the offseason. They are very close. Played together with the Indians for a little while. So the connection's there. Number two, if the Yankees offer the money, I think Lindor would be dumb to say no. I really do. You know, there's a very good crop of shortstops out there on the market next year. We talked about Javier Baez. We talked about Lindor. Corey Seager. There's a lot of good quality shortstops that are going to be out there. So the market, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys competing for those big contracts. If the Yankees are able to free up some money and trade for him and say, you know what, we want you to be the shortstop of our future. Sign this deal, stay here, don't even test the market and see how it goes. I think he would be crazy not to at least strongly consider it. And here's the trade that Brandon Cuddy of NewJersey.com, or NJ.com in that matter, proposed. The Yankees would give him Clint Frazier, Oswald Peraza, who we'll get to in a minute, Miguel Yajori, who you saw this year a little bit if you watch the Yankees, and Adam Ottavino. And the Yankees would get back Lindor and relief pitcher Nick Whitgren. Now, let's start off with Frazier. This is the kind of rental I would give Frazier up for. There aren't many players in this game that I would trade Clint Frazier for. But if he could be the headliner for a guy like Francisco Lindor, I would 110% do it. And Frazier was an Indian. Let's remember, the Yankees acquired him in the Andrew Miller trade. So there is a familiar basis with the Indians and Frazier. They need outfield help. Would they go back and bring in a guy like Frazier to try to solve those problems? Only time would tell. The shortstop listed on the screen, Oswald Peraza, their number 4 ranked prospect, he's a very talented young prospect, only 20 years old, but hasn't seen higher than low A ball. So he is a bit away from the big leagues, but there is hope that he'll be an everyday shortstop down the road. Yajori, we saw him in relief a couple of times. He could be a middle reliever for this Indian team in 2020. They're trying to cut cost. You mean to tell me they wouldn't want an electric young arm that could slide right in? And let's face it, the Yankees have an abundance of right-handed pitching. They could afford to make that move. And Adam Ottavino, right? Guys got 1 year, $9 million left on his deal, was absolutely terrible in 2020. Yankees will obviously look to move that contract this offseason, and they'll send $6 million in this proposed trade. So the Indians would have him at a 1 year, $3 million pact, which isn't a bad deal for a reliever, especially if he can get back on track. And let's face it, you know, maybe a change of scenery will be best for Ottavino, and it would make sense for the Yankees to try to dump that contract to cut some costs as they're bringing on Lindor, who will definitely demand at least $20 million in arbitration. So I think that the move makes sense. If you're looking for a comparison, look at what the Red Sox got in return for Mookie Betts, who was on the final year of his contract as well. I think Betts is obviously the better player, but you have to look at Lindor and think of him as a top 10 player in this league when he's right. You know, if I'm the Yankees and this is the trade that's offered, I have no problem whatsoever pulling the trigger. A lot of people think that Gleyber Torres would have to be included in this trade. I don't think so. I really doubt that the Yankees would have to give up on Gleyber for a rental. Now, if Lindor had years on his contract, I think it would be possible, but I think that the deal could get done without including Gleyber. And if you look at the Yankees, yeah, adding Lindor probably means that you let LeMahieu walk. But to be quite honest with you, I think I'm perfectly okay with that. Number one, LeMahieu's getting up there in age. How much is too much for a guy of his caliber? You know, he's still good defensively, a very good offensive player, but how long does he stay at that elite level? And also, if you're looking at it from a long-term perspective, is Gleyber Torres really the shortstop of the future? I don't know. I can say that guaranteeing a yes. I would much rather prefer him playing second base with Lindor at shortstop, but only time will tell. So I think this deal, the way that Brendan Cuddy mapped it out, I would definitely, I mean definitely, approve this trade because I think it makes sense for both sides. Now, do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Whichever way, let us know. Find us on Facebook, search up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND and on Instagram, Delahanty Media. Find us on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the big two. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. And if you haven't done so already and you're watching our show on YouTube today, hit that little red button in the corner. Subscribe to our channel for more news and updates regarding the Delahanty Media brand. As always, find everything for the Delahanty Media brand on our website, DelahantyMedia.com. And stay tuned for our next show, which will be our Should They Stay or Should They Go, featuring our position players that the New York Yankees had during the 2020 season. That's going to wrap up today's show. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I'm the host of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We thank you all for taking some time out of your day to watch our show. And as always, continue to rock those pinstripes. Let's go, Yankees. We'll talk to you real soon.